Father, thank you once again that we get to gather together. Lord, some of us have had a hard week. Some of us had a good week. Some of us have just living life day to day. And so, Father, this morning we get to bring all our cares and concerns and issues into this very building, knowing that you are present, knowing that you've not left us nor forsaken us, knowing, Father, that you love us in spite of us, knowing, Father, that you are the one that can meet our needs. Lord, I know that you love us. Your mercy and your grace exceeds anything that we could think of. Father, we have great spiritual needs in this very room. We need revival. We need revival personally. We need revival in this church, in this city, in this county, in this state, in this country, in this world. Lord, we need a spirit-filled Christian to stand forth and to say, God, I want to serve you regardless of anything else. We need some men and women here that we need to serve you according to what we're going to read about this morning. May we not let anything hamper serving you. May we not let the things of the world, our own issues, our own problems, our own likes and dislikes, may none of those things cause us to cease to worship you. May we worship you in spirit and in truth. And this morning, may Jesus Christ be lifted high. For it's in his precious name I ask these things. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue in the book of Acts. So if you'll turn to chapter number 1 with me this morning. Acts chapter number 1. I've entitled the series of message on the entire book of Acts. We're going to call it Handling Dynamite. And we're going to come across the verse this morning where I get that phraseology from. But Acts chapter number 1. We've now seen the disciples and they are gathered together and Jesus has told them, hey, I'm getting ready to leave you. And so we're going to start in verse number 3 this morning. And it says, to whom also he showed himself, speaking of Jesus alive, after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So last week we talked about the promise of the Holy Spirit. We talked about God going to send Holy Spirit. Jesus already told them that's going to take place. So when Jesus leaves, God's not going to leave them comfortless. He's not going to leave them without a guide. He's not going to leave them without direction. He's going to send the Holy Spirit to do those things. And so now Jesus is getting ready to leave, and he says, listen, guys, I'm leaving, but you're not going to be by yourself. I'm glad that God never leaves us by ourselves. I'm glad that God does not abandon us. I'm glad when the doctor says, hey, he's gone. I'm glad when the doctor says, hey, you've got this. Or I'm glad when the family member says, I don't want to see you no more. I'm glad that when you feel lonely and upset, I'm glad that when everything else is crashing, God never says, I'm out of here. God never says, you know what? I don't need you no more. I don't want you no more. I'm going to abandon you. I'm glad that our Heavenly Father never leaves us, never forsakes us. He never abandons us. In the good or the bad, I'm glad our God is ever present. How about you? So Jesus is getting ready to leave now. So we're going to pick up the story here in verse number 6. And it says, and when they, therefore, the disciples, after they were assembled together, when they, therefore, were come together, they asked him. Now, there's a couple of questions I would like to ask Jesus if I saw him face to face. And I'm sure that you can come up with 100 different questions that you would ask him. And so they had one chance to ask him a question. So they ask him the most important thing on their minds and their hearts at the moment. And we're going to examine why this is so important to them. Here's the question that they asked him. They said, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That was what they asked him. He was getting ready to leave. They didn't ask him why disease. They didn't ask him why death. They didn't ask him why sickness. They didn't ask him anything else. All they were concerned was, well, Jesus, is this the time of the governmental takeover? Is this the time that we're finally going to get back on top? Is this the time where you're finally going to come and wipe everybody else out and we're going to be left standing. Is this the time, Jesus? That was all they thought about. They didn't care about anybody else. They wanted what they wanted. Doesn't that sound like 2017? Doesn't that sound like some of us when we walked in those back doors? We wanted what we wanted. We wanted a certain seat. We wanted a certain place. We wanted a certain song. We wanted a certain prayer. We wanted just something certainly how we wanted it. And we expect Jesus to answer our request and forget everything else, just what I want. The disciples are being very selfish here. Now, I'm not pointing fingers at them, and I'm not calling them a bad person because they're just human beings like we are. But they're thinking back to the promise that God made. Let me just show you one instance of this promise that God made to them. Go to 2 Samuel with me real quick. Hold your finger here in Acts, and let's see the precedence. Let's see where God promised this to them. 2 Samuel. It's right after 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. I'll give you a couple seconds to get there because I've got to get there too. 2 Samuel, right before 1 Kings, okay? 2 Samuel chapter number 7, verse number 12. 2 Samuel chapter number 7, verse number 12. God is making a promise to David. And he's saying, David, the ruler and the reign is going to come through you, and I'm going to send him through you. Now, it's already been established in the book, in the Gospels, who Jesus, the lineage there. And we find out he was from the family of David. But here's the disciples are thinking back to the promises God made to David. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 12. He says, and when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, God is telling David, when you die, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. So he's simply saying, listen, your descendants is where the ruler is going to come. He's going to come from your seed. Your family members are going to be the rulers. They're going to set up God's kingdom here on the earth. Verse number 13. And he says, and he, speaking of this king, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And if he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established. Now here's important. Forever before thee, thy throne shall be established forever. According to these words and according to this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. So God promised David, David, your descendants, they will represent me, and I'm going to establish my kingdom forever. It's never going to disappear. Now, we all know from the book of the Old Testament, we see all the different ins and outs and the different kings and the different rulers and how they went away from God and how they did this and how they did that. And so we know that up to this time, God's kingdom has not been established yet permanently on this earth. We see Israel sinning and going away from God. We see Rome coming in now, and that's where we're picking up here in the book of Acts, where Rome has come in and they set up their kingdom. And so now the disciples are under the oppression of Rome, and they're under all these problems and all these political leaders, and there's been death and mayhem and everything else, and all the disciples want is to be done with it. All they want to do is finally have the kingdom set up. And Jesus had been promising that it was going to happen one day. He was constantly teaching them, hey, I'm going to set up my kingdom. Guess what? I'm the Messiah. I'm going to do this. And that's what they were anticipating. So when he died and when he rose again, they're thinking, all right, it's time. Jesus is going to be the ruler now. We're going to rule with him. Rome, you're out of here. Guess what? It's time for Israel to rise. So now as they're gathered together and Jesus is teaching them, what's on their mind is it time? Are you going to rule? Are you going to take over? So the very next words he says to them, it messes with their minds. Here's what he says. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. He's saying, listen, don't worry about it, guys. You don't have to concern yourselves about when it's going to take place. Don't be so enamored of having political power. Don't be so enamored of having manpower. Because down through the years, you've seen it, guys. You've seen every time a man rises to power, they topple. You've seen every time a government rises to power, they topple. And then you look back at the book of Daniel, and you see the statue that was built, and you see how they were built, and how they all toppled eventually. He's saying, Rome's going to topple too. All these things are going to disappear. Get your mind off of the physical power, because I'm going to send a power greater than you and the government. The Holy Spirit power is going to come on your life. Brothers and sisters, get your mind off of politics. Get your mind off of trying to rule this and rule that and be over this and be over that. That is not important in God's kingdom. Jesus Christ rules and reigns. He is the controller of all things. The book of Colossians chapter 1 talks about God creating everything and who's sustaining everything. God himself is doing this. Yes, we ought to support political things, and we ought to do things that are decent and in order or according to what the Bible teaches. I firmly believe that. We have to have authorities. God places those authorities in our lives. But don't seek man's power. Because anytime you seek to be in control of things, whether it's governmental, whether it's local, whether it's in the church or whatever it is, when you seek to have man's powers, then you're not doing what God wants you to do. We need law and order. We need people of God to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. But when your focus becomes your power and your ability and what you want, regardless if it's the country, city, state, whatever, then you've gone the wrong direction. And that's what he's telling the disciples. Guys, don't worry about it. I've got this handled. I told you I'm going to come back and rule and reign. I've promised you I'm going to do that. But until then, just do what you know to do. I don't need Republican power. I don't need Democratic power. I don't need power from the left or the right or the conservative or the middle. I don't need that power. I need Holy Spirit power in my life. Because man's power fails. How many of you have your electrical power go out on you this year? Isn't that miserable? You can't watch your favorite TV show. You can't wash clothes. Some of you don't even get water because your power goes out. It means you have to actually sit around and talk to each other. Your phones go out. Electricity, internet's gone. It's amazing how when we lose our electrical power, we lose our minds. And then when we start losing our governmental powers, we lose our minds. Those things are going to happen. But I never want to lose the Holy Spirit's power in my life. That's what matters. So here's what Jesus tells them. He says, guys, don't listen. Don't worry. Verse number 8. He says, but you shall. Underline, circle that word, highlight it, somehow get it put in your brain. You're going to get this power. He doesn't say you're going to rule and reign with me. He doesn't say you're going to be governors. He doesn't say you're going to be presidents. He doesn't say any of those things.
He says, you're going to get this power. You shall receive power. There's the word that we're getting our series title from. Power. Dunamis. Dynamite is where we get our word dynamite from. This is not just simply clicking on a light. This is not just simply a little M80. How many of you played with M80s when you were growing up? How much almost blew your hand off with an M80? Okay, all right. Quarter of a stick of dynamite. That's enough to do some serious damage. You light one of them, and you learn that if you don't throw it, there's going to be some serious problems. I think that's where my brain damage came from. I'm not sure. But I remember going out after the 4th of July and finding one of those things as a little kid, not knowing what it was, and I lit it. That thought was a regular firecracker, and I threw it about 5 feet from me. My ears rang for hours after that. It just boom, and I was enamored with firecrackers after that. But the type of power that God is promising to his disciples through his son Jesus Christ is much more powerful than a stick of dynamite. It's a spiritual power. A power to know how to live. A power to know how not to do this and how to do this and how to make the right decisions and be the type of father that you need to be and the grandfather you need to be and the mother and the sister and the brother. The type of power you need to know how to be a pastor, how to be a church member, how to be a person living in this time period. That's the type of power that Jesus is telling him. And he says, it's not only that, it's the type of power to be a witness for me. If there's anything this world needs now, it needs some people relying on the Holy Spirit power to be witnesses for God. And I'm not talking about denominations. And I'm not talking about rules and regulations. I'm talking about some sold out believers willing to witness and to live for Jesus Christ with Holy Spirit power, not man-made power. We need Holy Spirit power. And not just on Sunday mornings. I need Holy Spirit power tomorrow morning when I wake up. I needed Holy Spirit power when I told my three children, your grandfather has died. You need Holy Spirit power when you've got to deliver the bad news and the good news. You need Holy Spirit power when you've got to make a decision. Do I take this job? Do I take that job? You need Holy Spirit power to understand and realize how to love your family. You need Holy Spirit power in every aspect of your life. That's why he's telling his disciples, guys, don't worry about the government. I've got it handled. You just be my witnesses. You just live for me, and I'll give you the power to do it. Because look what he says. He says, but ye shall receive power. You're going to get it. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Circle that word. That is a personal pronoun. You. Not your neighbor, not your mama, not your daddy, not your brother, not your sister, but you. That's a promise. Did you know that I have the Holy Spirit power and it's enough for me? My Holy Spirit power is not any more Holy Spirit power than when you have, when you receive Jesus Christ your Savior. I don't lose it. I don't gain it. When I asked Jesus to come into my heart, he came into me permanently, never to leave. Now, there are times that I quench the Spirit, unfortunately. There's times that I don't listen to the Spirit living inside of me, but he never leaves me. Would be to God that this pastor and you and everybody else would be willing to obey the Spirit and his power and not live according to our power. Amen? He says, you're going to receive this power. And then he says, you're going to take it and you're going to be witnesses. You shall be witnesses. He doesn't say you have an option. He doesn't say if you feel like it. If you wake up in the morning and you're not cranky, then you can. No! You will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the earth. So we get to Jerusalem, and some of them are thinking, well, good, whew, I don't live in Jerusalem, so it's not my responsibility. It was just the disciples' responsibility, just there in Jerusalem. And so I think God knew that's what our mindset would be. So then he expands it out to Judea, a little bit further out. And then he says, and by the way, Samaria, which extends it out even further, and then just in case we didn't get the message, to the uttermost part of the earth. That includes the Appalachian Mountains. That includes Smoky Mountain National Park. That includes Swain County, North Carolina. And Macon County, and Jackson County, and Cherokee County, and all the other counties I haven't learned yet, but that includes them too. It includes every place. He says, I'm going to give you this power, the Holy Spirit power, so you can live for me. I love when he says in the book of Philippians, I can do all things through Christ. Now, people claim that for athletic feats and all those kind of, you know what simply that saying? I can live for God in whatever state I'm in. Poor, rich, famous, unfamous, infamous. I can do all these things and live for Christ because I have the Spirit living inside of me. Let me ask you a question. And only you can answer this because I can't answer it for you. Do you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you? Do you have this power that's been promised to you? We'll say, Brother Brian, I joined the church. I got baptized. I went down to the creek and somebody dunked me under the water and they said, hallelujah, and everybody stood up and clapped. My grandma and grandpa have been coming to this church for years. My uncles and my nieces and all the, my whole family's been coming to the church for years. Well, fantastic. That's not what I asked. Have you personally asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Because if you do that, that other comforter, the Holy Spirit, comes to live inside of you. That's where the power comes from. Now his disciples, when they hear this, I kind of feel like they're chastised a little bit. Because here they were thinking about we're going to be governmental rulers. Hey, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Jesus, we're going to take over now. Especially Simon Zelotes, the one that was a zealot. Remember that disciple? We don't hear very much about him. But apparently he was one of those rebels that hated the Roman government. So when he heard that he was going to be a ruler along with Jesus, he's like, bring it on, man. I'm going to get them Romans now. Give me a sword. Jesus is effectively taking the sword out of their hands and saying, let me handle this, guys. And I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit in return if you'll just do what I want you to do. I'd rather have the Holy Spirit than any mankind power. Amen? Because it's the Holy Spirit that changes lives. See, I've lived under governmental power like you have. And guess what? I haven't liked that sometimes. I've had rulers and bosses and governors and commanders that I did not respect whatsoever. And it was misery. But never one time has the Holy Spirit ever made my life miserable. I need Holy Spirit power, not governmental power. verse number 9. And when, after he said these things, while they beheld, while they were paying attention to him, waiting for him to do some more teaching, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Now, I can just imagine the scene. Here he is speaking to them. All of a sudden, he just starts going up. And I can just see their jaws dropping. Not knowing what to say. Steadfastly, you know what that means? They were staring. But you know what? That's the very same word that's used in the epistles that we're to hold on to our faith steadfastly. Unwavering, unmovable. They were undistracted. Here in a couple months, very close, we're going to have an eclipse. And there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be steadfastly watching up there. I'm hoping they're using the right type of instruments to do, because they're going to burn their corneas. But they're going to be steadfastly. This place is sold out already. All the hotel rooms and everything else is packed out. People are going to be wall to wall to see the moon come between us and the sun. The eclipse. And people are going to be steadfastly watching that. That's what these guys were doing. They were steadfast watching, thinking, what's going to happen now? I thought we were taking over, Jesus. I thought you were going to rule and reign now. What do we do? And so they're staring. But I'm glad that God doesn't just leave us hanging. Wouldn't it have been funny if they just stood there and he left and there's nothing? Anticlimactic. Well, what do we do now? Peter, what do we do? Well, I don't know. John, I thought you knew what to do. Well, I have no clue. Simon Zelotes gets it. I'm getting a sword. I'm going to town, baby. What do we do? But I'm glad God never leaves us without direction. I'm glad God never leaves us so we don't know what to do. Because look what happens. He sends some messengers. He says, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now, they weren't there visible to them at the moment. I believe they were there, but they were invisible at the time. As Jesus stood around teaching his disciples, these two angels were there, but they just weren't visible yet. And so these two guys say, hey guys, don't you remember what you're supposed to do? They remind him in verse 11. You men of Galilee. Now remember, they're not from Jerusalem. They're from Galilee. You, why are you standing up gazing into heaven? Get your head out of the clouds. Get your mind focused back where it needs to be. This same Jesus. I love that. Underline that right there. That brings me some hope. You know why that brings me hope? Because this same Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he never changes. The same Jesus that they saw die, the same Jesus they say come back to life, that same Jesus that they saw leave, the same one, not a copycat, the same one. This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, so we know where he is, so shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He's coming back. He's coming back. The big question then is, when? Okay, when? Brothers and sisters, I'm excited and I'm ready. Rapture practice right now. I'm ready for it. Staying at that gravesite, and I had the honor of preaching at the gravesite, and the tears, and praying that the rapture would happen right then. But it didn't. It's going to. The angel said, guys, listen, That same Jesus that you just saw go up into heaven, guess what? He's coming back. Jesus already told them, guys, I'm coming back. But until then, be my witness. Dads, until Jesus returns, be his witness. And that not might mean, it might not mean door to door. It might mean being the witness in your home, to your children, to your wife, being the man of God you're supposed to be, according to what the Bible says, not what man says. We need some men of God to stand up and say, enough is enough. I'm going to be a witness for Jesus Christ in my home. And all the wives said, see, guys, you didn't get off, think you were going to get off that easy, did you? But you don't have to do it on your own. You have the Holy Spirit power to do it. That's the greatest power known to mankind. Disciples, just go. Go back to Jerusalem. You're going to get some power. And it's going to take off like a rocket. Handling dynamite. Are you ready? Are you ready what the Bible says about how to handle dynamite? I am. I'm learning so much just from these first few verses that I've been studying. We have the power. Now, I'm not going to try to sing that old 80s song. Many of you know what I'm referring to. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Let's live for Jesus. We don't need a government takeover. We need a Holy Spirit takeover. Amen? And it can start with you, and it can start with me, if we're just willing to do and be what God wants us to be. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. And don't judge anybody else. Just live for Jesus with the Holy Spirit power living inside of you. That's the call today. Moms and dads, live for Jesus. Grandma and grandpa, live for Jesus. Aunt, uncle, niece, nephew, grandson, granddaughter, son, daughter, live for Jesus. You got the Holy Spirit power to do it. Let's do it. Let's handle the dynamite. Amen? Amen. If you're all for it, say amen. And those on the shelf, there we go. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. Handling dynamite. God's word is so thorough. It's so complete. And I'm asking you this morning, what does God want you to do? How does God want you to handle this dynamite? Is it maybe you committing to repent of the way you've been living and turn your life back to Jesus the way it should be? Is it maybe you for the very first time saying, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus to be my Savior? Is it you deciding, you know what, there's some issues of life that I'm not dealing with the way I should do. I need to repent. Maybe it's the issues of, God, thank you for what you've given to me. Help me to live in that now and to realize who I am. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is a judgment-free zone here this morning. I love you, but more importantly, God loves you. And he desperately desires for you to live according to the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So won't you join me today? I'm going to be at the altar and I'm going to pray. I'm not going to worry about what somebody else does. I need God's Holy Spirit power in my life. You can join me. You can make an altar where you're sitting. But just simply say, yes, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to be your witness in my home, in my business, wherever I'm at. Let me live according to your power. Father, thank you for being our Father. Thank you that we can call you our Heavenly Father. Help us now, Father, to live for you. For that precious soul in this room that does not know you as their Savior. Oh, they're playing the game and maybe they said a little prayer sometime, but God, they've not really been saved. May today be that day where they have the Holy Spirit power. For that Christian who strayed, may they come back to you. For that one who's concerned, convicted, speak to them and have them come back. Whatever the need is this morning, may men of God, women of God, stand up and say, enough is enough. I'm going to live for Jesus. Whatever the need is, God, would you please meet that this morning? In his precious name I pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Won't you come? Won't you come right now as they sing? Won't you come?